Hello everybody, welcome to episode 16 of the Centre Circle podcast, and thankfully there's not many people to make fun of me this week, but joining me is the Irishman, the one and only Celtic connection here, David Nealon.
Well, who says I'm not going to make fun of you?
But it's better than four people making fun of me, isn't it? Do we want to go right into the slagging, or do we want to do it in order?
I don't know. Beautiful day, we might as well just get stuck into the whole thing. I'm feeling good today.
I wish I could say the same.
Because Celtic lost midweek.
I've happily got Kokoda Malt to keep me going through this next 45 minutes. But speaking of Celtic, it was 1-0 to Lincoln Red Imps.
I think it's a great spectacle. I really like seeing the underdog winning in the Champions League, because it kind of gives them recognition of who they are and where they're from, and you know, trying to get a bit of, you know, a bit of a following.
Yeah, at this stage I'm not even angry, I'm just kind of disappointed now.
Well, I mean, there's no excuse for you not even scoring against Lincoln, let alone losing to them.
Yep, pretty much what my prediction was, 2-0 with Celtic not even getting out of gear, and it looks like we didn't get out of gear. From people who are watching it telling me.
I didn't think you even got the car started, let alone getting into first gear.
But
I didn't see the match, but it was pretty shambolic. I mean,
it sounded like 10-yard passes were being misplaced. It even people who'd seen like the worst of Dyla era, this was far worse. We now have the second most embarrassing result for a professional team in the world.
It's pretty bad. I mean, you're losing to a group of part-timers who are working on part-time jobs like policemen and taxi drivers. These are full-time paid footballers you're playing with. And to lose to a team from Gibraltar is pretty unforgivable, if you ask me. You can argue about the pitch and the conditions, but there's no excuse. No excuse.
There's no excuse for that. You're right. The only upside is at least we're not as bad as like the Galactico Real Madrid losing to an Armenian amateur team. It's not that bad.
I actually don't recall that.
It was 1-0 to a random Armenian team. I think they were doing some kind of charity tour, and they fielded like their Galactico team to sell as many tickets as possible for it.
But was that a friendly now? Or?
I think it was a friendly, but still,
I mean,
they fielded their full team.
A friendly compared to a Champions League qualifier is pretty... The gulf of quality in the two is pretty enormous.
The gulf of quality between Galactico, Real Madrid, and any Celtic team.
I think you're being a bit harsh on Celtic. I mean, back in the glory days with Henrik Larsson, they were a pretty good team back then.
I love the treble winning Celtic in the UEFA Cup final Celtic, but we're talking Zidane, Raul. Let's even look at their bench, Morientes.
You're trying to dig that hole deeper and deeper. I'm trying to get away from the fact.
I'm saying Galactico might have been the best 11 team that you've ever seen.
I know, but losing to an Armenian side, it can happen. But losing to a recognised team from Gibraltar.
Yep, I'm still embarrassed by it. But what can you do?
Again, I'm going back to the point. Rangers will make Celtic stronger back in the SPL. It'll make, you know, Scottish football a lot stronger. There were three other teams playing in the Europa League. I mean, you had Aberdeen, Hibernian and Hearts. I think only one of them won on the day, and that was Aberdeen. But then again, they lost to a team from Luxembourg.
Yeah, I'm still in the position of everything I said when I did that whole 20-minute discussion about how I wish Rangers or Celtic, I would have been happy with either of them doing it, because I've seen the worst part of the Old Firm personally. I still stand by that. I think if Rangers had been fully disbanded and not came back, I would have been happy, even to take the hit in terms of quality of football, to take the hit in terms of my team becoming a joke.
Well, that's just, it.
There's no excuse for sport coming before lives.
Now, the Old Firm will uplift Celtic again, I feel. The competitiveness will improve with the Old Firm back in session.
Yep. But next discussion is, I think you're probably going to talk more on this one. You're more from... I wouldn't say you... Oh, God. Stumbling over my words. Can he move to Chelsea and how he'll adapt into Conte's mentality? I honestly don't think there's a lot of change needed for Kante, but...
It depends on the system that Conte's going to play, whether it's going to be his usual famous 3-5-2 Italian formation or whether he's going to adapt to 4 at the back. But it kind of raises an issue about who's going to leave Chelsea with the addition of Kante.
See, with a 3-5-2 in the English league, I think it's going to be a lot harder, because in England, a lot of teams rely on key players being wingers and...
Well, that's it. I mean, we talked about Van Gaal's 3-5-2 when he was United manager, and it seriously backfired on him.
Yeah, it's in Italy, a lot of the quality seems to be focused in the centre, I feel.
It's a different culture in the Italian way as opposed to the English formation. You need 4 defenders minimum at the back. Maybe playing a few wing backs, which what he might do, and play like a deeper 3-5-2 with, like, say, Azpilicueta and Cuadrado as wing backs, but you never know. But it kind of raised the issue about the holding midfielders, whether or not it'll be a green light for Nemanja Matic to leave. Because I feel that Kante will now be that holding midfielder along with a playmaker like Cesc Fabregas. But again, it comes back to the issue about what kind of formation he's going to be playing in the English leagues. Whether it's going to be a standard 4-4-2 or a 4-2-3-1.
See, I don't think Conte is the type of manager that will stick to one formation. I think he's the type of manager that can adapt very easily.
Yeah.
I don't see him being limited at all. Like, every player that's playing at Barclays Premier League level should be able to fit in multiple systems. Let's be honest.
I totally agree with that, but I just think Conte's mentality might hinder what Chelsea might do in the midfield areas.
See, when... pardon me. When I look at Conte, I don't see a manager who's too stuck in his ways. It's just he had no reason to change at Juventus. Whereas there's so many different approaches to the game in England these days, with so many foreign managers, with so many homegrown, you know.
I'm excited to see Kante. I think he's a superb player. You need that kind of player who can cover every blade of grass on the field. And, you know, he has the best stamina in the Premier League. He's such a tireless midfielder that he will give... I think he'll also improve the tempo of Chelsea's play.
I really hope that he doesn't get benched.
I don't think he will. I think he will be a main starter. What I'm fearing is that one of Matic... I think Johnny Obi Mikel is definitely going to be gone by the end of the transfer window, whether he's released or sold on. I don't think a player of Kante's ability will be dropped. I mean, he's made a real breakthrough at Leicester. He's broken into the French team. It'd be silly to spend 30 million and drop him.
That's the only thing, is how many times have we said that before with Chelsea and, you know, big teams?
I actually have a stat for you. Kante had made more tackles, won more tackles and interceptions last season than Cesc Fabregas and Matic combined. 60 more.
That's insane.
I don't think he'll be dropped. I think he will be a main starter for the most part.
Like I said, I really hope he is, but it's Chelsea. Weird things happen at Chelsea. But to continue on, we're a month away from the start of the English season. What's the predictions? Who's taking the title?
This could be a tight title race. I feel with the addition of Pep Guardiola, Conte, Mourinho at United... this is going to be a tight one to decide. I'm going to make a very bold claim here and go for the dark horse of Spurs to win the league this season.
Well, my top four is United taking it, Chelsea second place, City third place, Leicester fourth place.
I don't think Leicester will even make the top four. I don't even know if they'll make the top half of the table.
Nah, I think they will be top four.
See, the problem is, because they're now going to be in Europe next season, they're going to be playing a lot more games than they used to last season, and that will be the difference. With the loss of Kante, you're going to have a very tired team who don't have a lot of depth in their squad to be playing, you know, two, three games a week. I don't think they'll be able to handle it. And that's why I see they're going to be... See, they don't have experience in European competition. That's going to be their downfall.
They do have 30 million now to get some last-minute purchases, which I could see happening.
It depends. I mean, we still have lots and lots of time left for the transfer window, which is why it's so hard to call. But yep, I'm going to make a top-four claim saying that Spurs, who have enormous depth in their squad, they have superb midfielders like Eriksen, Lamella, Ali, Dembele, Wanyama's now in the team as well. Good defence, good solid back line. You have Lloris in goal, Harry Kane up front, and the new guy, Vincent Janssen. I think that will be the reason why they'll win the season. And the rest of the top four, I'd say City coming second, United third, and Chelsea fourth. It's funny how we haven't mentioned Arsenal in the top four.
I don't know. I don't like them. I think that there's a lot of injury-prone players in there, and I think that's going to hit them hard.
I think they need a striker. No question about it. They need an out-and-out striker.
For how many seasons have we said they need a striker?
I mean, Wenger doesn't seem to listen. He's got Granit Xhaka, who's... Don't get me wrong, he's going to be a world-class midfielder, but that's not the position you need to strengthen. And I don't think he understands how much they really need a striker.
I would really love it if he just, like, in the last day of the transfer window, signed someone like Immobile. Like a striker that's just always been in close to my heart as opposed to being out and out.
I think they should have gone for Morata when the iron was hot. I mean, it was all rumours back then, but they just... What I hate about Arsenal is they have all these rumours spreading about players they're interested in, but they never make any execution for them.
Well,
they don't make instinct buys, and that's really what differs them from many other clubs.
To quote a great comment that I seen today is, if the UK goes into another recession, I'd back Wenger to be in charge. He'd eliminate all spending instantly.
That's totally true, I think. I don't know. I don't know if Wenger's the right man for the job. I think his time has passed.
But speaking of Armenia from earlier, you've got an interesting man of the match who I don't want to try and pronounce.
Yeah, I call him the Armenian Demon. He's a new signing I made for my team Flora Tallinn in Estonia. Tigran Barsegian. I think that's how you pronounce it anyway. But yeah, he is a striker. Bought him for about 30k from my rival Levadia. He's got great finishing, but he's kind of inconsistent. Sometimes he's great, sometimes he's not so great. But, you know, as an advanced forward, you need a lot of attributes to be on the mark. And I think he does, for the most part. He has good acceleration and pace. The only thing is, his composure is lacking a little bit. I mean, with 8 composure, he needs to improve. But the good news is that he could be breaking into the Armenian team very soon, because he seems to be in good form. He got a 9.6 in a league match, I believe, where he scored a hat-trick in the first 35 minutes. And he also scored 2 in the Estonian Cup final, which I'll talk about a bit later on.
See, my man of the match is my centre midfielder, Lewis Cook, who is from Leeds, I believe. I originally got him from.
He starts at Leeds, but he's now moved to Bournemouth.
Well, I grabbed him from Leeds. Got him for, I think it was only 7 million in like season 3. And absolute brilliant investment. He's just plays in that Roman playmaker role, but can play defensive midfielder or ball winning if I need him to. And the last maybe 3 weeks, he's not put in anything below an 8.8, which, considering some of the subpar results I've been having because fixture congestion is starting to get an issue, He's playing sometimes 80% stamina, like from the start, and he's still pulling in 8.8s and 9s. He's not even getting assists most of the time. He's just no misplaced passes, no missed tackles. He's just an absolute beast right now.
He's an exciting prospect, I have to say. I'd say he'd probably be the same as Will Hughes kind of player.
I think he's got a lot more talent for getting stuck into a physical battle than Will Hughes.
I really don't know if he'll break into the England team in the future.
Yeah,
players like him and Will Hughes just never seem to make the cut for England.
It's the few times I've seen him play in real life, it's always been him winning hard tackles and him being involved in the midfield battle as opposed to fanciness.
Yeah.
Which is something I personally like, but what can you do? Because of bandwagons, this week my safe scout is Lincoln Red Imps. Because the day after the Celtic game, there was 40 bloody posts odd. And I was like, do I delete these or do I look like bitter? You know?
I would spread it all over Facebook.
If I cleaned them up in terms of duplicates, it would look like I'm just being bitter. But if I leave them, soon we're going to get the... Or Lincoln Red Imps, does anyone else lol, and people complaining?
The funniest part was when the Sky News reporter read out the fake facts about him, about Lincoln Gibraltar, saying they played, I think they played in front of like 35 fans or something, and had to not train on Tuesday because of the local, Metal Detector Society using their pitch.
Was that real or was that fake?
That was actually fake.
Oh.
But it was actually read out on Sky Sports News.
Yeah, I saw it in Sky. I think I would have preferred it if that was real. That would make me so much better about the situation.
Well, I mean, that's the kind of calibre of team you're playing against.
Yep, and we lost them because we're fucking embarrassing.
No excuse, I'm afraid. Still no excuse.
At least Brendan Rodgers, as opposed to Dial, is the kind of manager who'll come out and say that was embarrassing.
It's funny. I start my save, my current save in Gibraltar, and Lincoln Red Imps weren't really as good as people think they are, though they're absolutely dominant in real life in their league. I think I can look up their stats from last season. It's pretty outstanding. Now, but they won like 25 out of their 27 matches, scored 137 goals and conceded 9, finished with a goal difference of plus 128.
So they did all right then.
Yeah, they did all right, if you want to say that.
Right now, I've in my Celtic save, just to put this into perspective, I've played 29, won 25, drawn 4. And my goal difference is 68. So they're doing better than I do in my league, in my FM safe.
Well, I mean, they are playing amateur teams.
I should be doing a lot better than I am this season. A couple of transfers and fixture congestion is starting to hurt.
Well, that's why you need diff.
Yeah, injuries. Like, I've had to sign 10... Oh, God. 10 Yedvaj... Just because I've got 4 injuries in the defensive positions.
Jeez. Defenders are very brittle in FM this year.
Yeah, I think it's more like they're, even with my rotation system, I play a lot of hard tackling.
Oh, I know, that's me as well.
But yeah, your save's up, and I believe it's from Golden FM.
It is from Golden FM. He started the new Emulating Messi series, which I'm actually featured on. He put up the first video over the weekend, but I think we've now got clubs. But he also gave us the database where you can actually use the players. I think there's like 110 players that he's put into this Emulating Messi series. And if you don't know what it is, it's basically... You select five attributes, which are going to be...
I'd like to point out that 4 seagulls just landed on my bloody windowsill and decided to scream at me.
Yeah, it was pretty hard not to hear that, in fairness.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm tripping at this stage, if that really happened.
But anyways, Yeah, you choose five attributes. You choose, you know, like finishing, composure, I don't know, passing, dribbling, like, and they're all 20. You start off with a current ability of 125, and it's like emulating throughout the years, through your career, to see if you can actually be as good a player as Lionel Messi. But he's actually given out the database, and what I was thinking was, taking the 110 future wonder kids from this database, actually make a team of them, and try and dominate, you know, the Champions League, Europa League, whatever, the Premier League, La Liga. Build a team around only 17-year-olds from that database, and develop them as well as you can.
Do you not need to steal the database from Golden FM then, after these?
No, he actually sent the database through Patreon. Yeah. So I can put it in the description if you need it.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not going to be doing it. I've not got much time for FM.
If you haven't watched Emulating Messi before, it's a great series.
So I watched the last one he did.
Yeah, he's had a few different concepts of it. He did Emulating Ronaldo and Emulating Pele.
That's the one I saw where it was all wingers and they started in Portugal.
Yeah, something like that. But it's a really good watch if you want to see it. I might link the description to the video as well. So yeah, that's safe scope for me.
Sorry, I was trying not to cough up my lung. Well, my headliner is kind of a low light this week. I had to play my C/D team against Partick Thistle because it was really a case of, do I send half injured players to play against PSG in the second leg? Or do I do the smart thing and risk closing my invincibles? You know.
So you're effectively playing your under 19 squad.
Yeah, I think I had Dorlan Pabon is probably the only kind of recognised player I played. Him and Kasper Schmeichel, and Schmeichel's my bench keeper anyway. So that's the kind of two recognised names I had playing, because Pabon is now getting bled out of the team because he's 33 now, 34.
It's good to rotate. I like rotating the squad and maybe giving
such a great first half. That's what makes it even worse. It's like I had something like 78% possession, so many clear cut chances, shots on target. Pabon got one, and wasn't him. I can never say his name. He's apparently Dutch, right? But his name is spelled VJILBRJF. Vielbrief?
I have never heard of him.
Yeah, he's not he's apparently Dutch, which doesn't sound Dutch to me, but anyway.
Fair enough. But it's good to feel the youth, but try and develop them a little bit.
Second half, we threw it away completely, bottled it, and to each it finished.
Nice.
Was a bloody panicking for wonder goal.
That's always the way, isn't it?
The first one was a wonder goal.
It's always their first goal of the season, and it really pisses me off when it does that.
The first one was a brilliant goal, and the second one was just a goal.
Just jammy.
I kind of wish the second one had been the wonder goal, and I wouldn't feel so bad.
When it's always the way with one opposition player scoring their first goal of the season against me.
Yep.
My headliner this week, it's been good. I blitzed the Meisterliga, which is the main league in Estonia. We won the league by 19 points. I think we won it with about 5 games to spare, so I feel the kind of youth teams and a lot of good prospects coming through. But we also completed the double. We won the Esti Karikas, which is the FA Cup. And the weird thing about this competition is you play the first 4 rounds in one season, and then you play the quarterfinal 6 months after. I have no idea why, but you're effectively playing the cup towards the end of the season, and then you're continuing the next season, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like a kind of a transition between. But yeah, we won the cup final with a 3-0 win against Infinet. In the final, Kovacevic, Sapanin, and Barsegian on the score sheet. Comfortable.
It's a lot of names. They are definitely named people.
Yep. A Serb, a Finnish, and a Armenian player. Because I'm not racist at all. Anyways, I guess with Darren trying to reconnect, I'll do my week analysis. It was starting off so brilliant, and now it's turned for the worst. I mean, the first 9 games in the Meisterliga, we won all 9 of them, and now we've suddenly dipped in form. We lost back-to-back games against Kalju, we lost to Silamai Kalev and Temeca Tartu in the league, and yeah, everything's turned a little bit sour, but we're still 6 points clear at the top. We've won quite a few games, but kind of feel this dip in form has hurt our chances a little bit, and it's hurt our confidence as well. The morale is looking a bit low at the moment, but we're trying to get it back up. We also got the Champions League draw for the first qualifying phase, where we play Ordino from Andorra. And the winners of that play Rosenborg from Norway. So my hopes of trying to get to the group stages this season look pretty slim at the moment.
Well, I just picked up. So my win streak has managed to keep going in the league. But I managed a 2-0 win against PSG in Paris. And didn't throw away my invincibles against Partick Thistle when resting all my players, so that was good for me. Not the best week, but okay.
That sounds good. Like, how long have you been unbeaten at Celtic? Far too many.
Far too many, yeah. I think it was 38 wins in a row, but I think my unbeaten is better than Gareth's. It's weird. Like, we were talking about it a while ago, and I can't remember the details of it, but... And moving on to weird transfers. Hi, Maverick. I've got a lot of free transfers coming in. One of the best regens out and about now for Scotland, Danny Devlin. Davy Klassen, Rulli, the goalkeeper, and Dembele are all coming to me at Celtic for free.
Which Dembele is it?
The good one.
Which one's the good one now? Is it the Spurs one or the Fulham one?
The Fulham one in FM.
Is he going to be the better Dembele than the one at Spurs?
Don't know in real life.
I'm not really sure about that, to be honest.
In FM, he's better than the other one.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how he develops. I'm sure he's signed now for Celtic full-time.
Yep.
Weird transfers for me. Quite weird seeing James Rodriguez playing in a Barcelona shirt. He moved from Real Madrid to... Man City for $55 million. Now he's playing for Barcelona. They signed him for $25 million. Alexander Mitrovic went to Atletico Madrid for $35.5 million. And the quite weird one was Jordan Ibe. Of course, he's now moved to Bournemouth. He moved from Liverpool to Everton for a free transfer.
Talking about weird transfers involving Liverpool... I got Paulinho.
Who,
yeah, despite no injuries, I can't work out why. He's now at Newport on loan.
Where in Newport now?
I think they're League One still.
League One?
Let me check. Newport. Sky Bet League 2, 17th.
Wow. Well, that's a nice way to finish your career, isn't it?
I'm just going to quickly hammer down the manager watch list. I've got Moyes is still at Atletico because he refuses to get sacked. Arsenal manager is Luis Enrique. Southampton have Mark Hughes. And Granada manager Paco Gemez has done well for himself in Massive. He's at Everton.
Moyes is still at Chelsea. I don't think he's won anything new since I mentioned him last. They won the Barclays Premier League in 2021. So he's obviously doing something right. Luis Enrique is also at Arsenal for me. Mark Hughes, I think, is still at... Stoke. Yeah, he's still at Stoke. And Gemez is now the Sevilla manager, but he was also the Spain manager between 2017 and 2020. Didn't win a single thing. Especially for Spain. That's pretty bad.
It's a sad day.
Unai Emery is now Spain manager.
I should have checked who was Spain manager.
I think we're having technical difficulties with Darren at the moment, so I guess I'm going to jump into what we haven't done in a while is press conference. We have two questions this week. We have Fraser Mortimer.
I'm back.
Oh, he's back. He's back.
Yep.
Just about surviving.
I think Leicester City are going to come fourth in the week.
Yeah, Fraser Mortimer's question was, how do you think Leicester City will cope in the league this season with new managers at big clubs? It's cute that he says big club for someone like Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool, but like Guardiola, Conte, Mourinho. I still think they're going to finish mid-table because of the Europe factor this year. And the absence of Kante as well.
And the second question, which is super important and relevant. James Lomax asks, how many Pokemans have we collected?
Zero.
I've collected 30 Pokemon.
I'm not getting involved in this Pokemon business.
I'm rolling my eyes right now.
Call me ignorant, but I just don't see the point in it. If you want to get fit, go to the gym. Not the Pokemon gym, but just a gym.
Can do both.
You can do both, but I prefer to do one.
My gym is a Pokemon gym. I'm not joking.
I kind of figured that.
So thank you all for joining us. This has been episode 16, and joining me has been David. We have launched a new Twitter, which is being managed by David just now. I'll let him.
Yeah, our Twitter now is @CenterCirclePod. You can tweet us anything you like. If you want to retweet the show, follow us there. You know, it doesn't cost to follow or tweet us. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I need to talk about. If you want to actually follow my own Facebook page, you can follow me at facebook.com/DBSC16. And I also have a forum post on Sorted Out SI. So look for that as well. What about you, Darren?
Me on Twitter at @Darren_Carrigan. You can get in touch with me by email at scottishrope@hotmail.co.uk. If you fancy any poetry or stuff like that, even though I've been kept out of writing poetry due to personal reasons for a while, you can get me on Darren Carrigan's spoken word. And I think that's everything. Thank you all for joining us. Next week I should hopefully be healthy, and we should hopefully have a decent crowd of us in again.
I kind of feel we need outro music for this episode.
We always have outro music.
Since it's nice and sunny.
Sunny. Yesterday my life was filled with rain. Sunny. You smiled at me and really eased the pain. Now the dark days are done and the bright days are here. My sunny one shines so sincere. Sunny one so true. I love you. Sunny, thank you for the sunshine bouquet. Sunny, thank you for the love you've brought my way. You gave to me your all in all, and now I feel 10 feet tall. Sunny one so true, I love you. Sunny, thank you for the truth you let me see. Sunny, thank you for the facts from A to Z. My life was torn like windblown sand. Then a rock was formed when we held hands.
Sunny,
sunny one so true, I love you. Sunny, thank you for that smile upon your face. Sunny, thank you for that gleam that flows with grace. Your
You're my spark of nature's fire. You're my sweet, complete desire. Sunny one, so true, yes, I love you. Sunny, yesterday all my life was filled with rain. Sunny, you smiled at me and really, really eased the pain. Now the dark days are done and the bright days are here. My sunny one shines so sincere. Sunny one so true, I love you. I love you. I love you.